Blog Talk Radio.
Politics 1-3 Radio Show. Pleasure to be online with you all. Thank you for listening and sharing across social media. I'm David Franklin in New Mexico.
Hi, good evening, everyone. This is Laura Picka from Michigan, and I hope everyone is doing well this evening. Nice to be here. Mm-hmm.
Yes, season 4, episode 15, the topic, in a world filled with war and conflict, be a Jimmy Carter. What are some of the lasting legacies of the 39th President of the United States, Jimmy Carter, a man from Plains, Georgia? He was a decent president and an even better human being after leaving office. What will he be remembered for most, in your opinion? Jimmy Carter was born on October 1st, 1924. He's a retired politician, and like I said, 39th President of the United States that served from 1977 to 1981. He's a member of the Democratic Party who previously served as Georgia State Senate from 1963 to 1967, and then as a 76th governor of Georgia from 1971 to 1975. He was raised in Plains, Georgia. He was born there as well and graduated from the United States Naval Academy in 1946. He served in the submarine service. After returning home, he revived his family peanut growing business. Planters Peanuts, you know that popular Planters Peanuts. It was his family who founded it. He opposed racial segregation, supported the growing civil rights movement, and became an activist within the Democratic Party. And from 1963 to 1967, like I said, he served in the Georgia State Senate. And in 1970, he was elected the governor of Georgia. As a dark horse candidate, well known outside of Georgia, Jimmy Carter won the 1976 Democratic presidential nomination and narrowly defeated incumbent Republican President Gerald Ford of Michigan. And in a world that has war now, you know, and good sense prevails, a world witnessing the end of the American exceptionalism, is it too late to contain the red panda threat of global dominance? Is the United States neocolonial empire collapsing as China's influence grows? What will happen if China gives Russia deadly weapons in a war of aggression against Ukraine? How will the United States respond? Are we about to witness the start of World War III? These and other hot-button issues that's on your mind and in the news are on the table tonight as we discuss the latest in U.S. news and world politics. Thanks for joining the big show. Call in at 515-605-9802. Say your first name and where you're calling from. And please, please, for the love of God, turn your TV off because it causes a terrible feedback for the host and listeners. Be respectful and refrain from speaking over the host. No screaming, no shouting. And stop shouting at each other. This is not Sean Hannity or Idiot Rush Limbaugh. May he burn in hell. Failure to adhere to these simple requests mean that you'll be cut off without warning. Thanks for commenting on facebook.com/kitchenpolitics123. And be sure to check out our new website, kitchenpolitics123.com, where blog articles will be posted and merchandise will be on sale soon. Kitchen Politics 123 Radio Show, we're not anti-social, just anti-stupid. Let's get cooking, Lori. Where shall we start?
Well, a little bit more about Jimmy Carter. As we all know, he is in hospice right now. And he, you know, when he was president, you know, he was not, for some reason, you know, he was told that we were all told he was president. I think that he was a decent president. I don't remember him that well as a president, but his legacy will live because he has done so many wonderful things for people. He is truly a human being that cares. He actually walks the walk and talks the talk. He has worked for Habitat for Humanity for many, many years. He has been an ambassador for 104,000 volunteers, and he's been working with them since 2000. And even just a couple of years ago, he was, you know, once he fell and he hit his head and his face was bruised, and he went back, you know, and was helping on the job. So he is a definite humanitarian. We all love him. We all know that he's going to go to heaven. He, you know, was you know, he would go to church and he would do Bible studies and all that. But he was truly, truly a Christian. I don't mind saying that about him because I believe, like I said, that he was a good human being and there's good things waiting for him.
Well, yeah, not was, is still alive. Let's just make that clear to everybody. On the second day of his presidency, Jimmy Carter pardoned all Vietnam War draft dodgers and invaders. It was his administration that established the Department of Energy and Department of Education, and currently Republicans trying to get rid of those two departments. He also created national energy policy that included conservation, price controls, and new technology. Carter pursued the Camp David Accords between Egypt and Israel, the Panama Canal Treaties, and the second round of strategic limited talks of SALT. He also confronted stagflation in the 1970s when OPEC oil prices were skyrocketing and through the roof. At the end of his presidency, it was marked by the Iran hostage crisis and the 1979 Iran energy crisis, the Three Mile Island Accord, the Nicaraguan Revolution, the Soviet invasion of Afghanistan. In response to the invasion, he escalated the Cold War when he ended détente, imposed a grain embargo against the Soviets, enunciated the Carter Doctrine, and led the 1980 Summer Olympic boycott. At the 19th Democratic presidential primaries, Carter took the nomination over U.S. Senator Ted Kennedy at the 1980 Democratic National Convention, but lost, unfortunately, to Republican scumbag Ronald Reagan. So, you know, when he left the office in 1981 after the inauguration of Reagan, you know, he didn't appoint a Supreme Court justice of the United States. And in 1982, he established the Carter Center to promote and expand human rights. He earned him a Nobel Peace Prize in 2002, traveled extensively to conduct peace negotiations, monitor elections, and further the eradication of infectious diseases in African nations and all over the world. He's a key figure in the nonprofit housing organization Habitat for Humanity that, you know, you just mentioned, and has written numerous books ranging from political memoirs to poetry, while continuing to commit to global affairs, including two big books on the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. And he isn't afraid to criticize Israel's treatment of Palestinians and compare it to apartheid in South Africa. So Jimmy Carter is a legend in my eyes. You know, when he came to Jamaica in 1989, let me tell you this story. Spoke to him for about a good 10 minutes or so. He was the first ever U.S. president I ever met in person. And the next one being Gerald Ford, when I lived in Florida and worked there. You know, and he was just this genuine, nice person. You know, firm handshake. You know, when he speaks, right? He spoke to you directly, eye, you know. And when he found out, mm-hmm. it was the first time I'm voting, you know, so it's a special day in a young person's life, you know. And, you know, yeah, it was just special. That moment was special.
Yeah, and also his favorite president was Harry Truman. He admired him, and so he made a statement as well. And also his wife, Rosalind, I think they met when they were like 3 years old. He was 3 years old, and she was, you know, one or two. So they have a long history, and it really is amazing. So he's going to be he will be missed. Like I said, an outstanding human being. And there should be more people in the world like, you know, President Jimmy Carter. Absolutely. We just don't have in the world anymore, you know. And then he had to sell his farm. We know that. And he did save it, and then he sold it. But he didn't sell it till after he left office in 1977. So
he put in a blind trust. Something that, what's his name, the orange vomit refused to do when he was elected as president. He didn't trust anybody, not even his kids, to put in a trust for them. You know, but, you know, Trump is Trump, and he's just vile and disgusting. You know, so we'll talk about, we'll stand Jimmy Carter tonight by comparing, you know, a legend like him to the orange vomit, Donald Trump.
Yeah. As human beings, no comparison whatsoever, you know. It's just, you know, and like I said, it was actually 40 years that they served Habitat for Humanity as ambassadors. Mm-hmm. So amazing. Mm-hmm. And they renovated and built more than 4,000 homes. So that's God bless them.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
You know, it's amazing.
Yeah. It was just unfortunate when you were president that the OPEC crisis happened, or the energy crisis hit the world. You know, the bad timing. You know,
I was
the spin machine the Republicans have, you know, it made Pence and Ronald Reagan look like this big savior, which he was not.
Yeah.
You know?
I know.
So,
I agree.
And there was no war going on when Jimmy Carter, the 4 years Jimmy Carter was president. You know, so that's a good thing.
Yeah, very good thing. Absolutely. A good thing there.
Mm-hmm. I think his lasting legacy for me is the Israel and Egypt Camp David Accord treaty, the Camp David Accord, you know, where Anwar Sadat, Israeli Prime Minister Menachem Begin, came to Camp David in September 1978 in hopes of creating a defensive peace between Israel and Egypt. They couldn't agree on Israel's withdrawal from the West Bank and negotiations, resulting in Egypt formally recognizing Israel as a country. We've got no Middle Eastern countries. The Muslims don't want to recognize Israel and want to wipe them off the face of the earth, which, you know, is adding to the conflict there, the global conflict. It's been going on since biblical days. And, you know, Jimmy Carter got the sides together, and that was just a historical peace agreement. It ended the war between Israel and Egypt. So, you know, that's a good thing for his legacy, for Jimmy Carter.
Absolutely. He was amazing. He's an amazing human being. Like I said, other people should take notes, walk in his shoes, and follow his steps. You know, that's how I look at him. I admire him. He has also they're not children anymore, four adults, you know, children as well. So he has a nice sized family also.
And 22 grandchildren and many more great grandchildren as well.
Yeah, it's amazing. Family.
Yeah.
So that part, that's beautiful there. And they're all there, you know, with him. He had Amy Carter, Donnell Carter, Jack Carter, and James Carter. Those were his four
mm-hmm.
children.
Mm-hmm.
That was their name.
Yes.
That is their name, you know.
Yes, yes.
So that's mm-hmm. great.
Excellent. Yep, mm-hmm. so, you know, the Carter family, our hearts go out to you in this hard time as Jim McCarthy is
yep.
in hospice and everything. You know, so, you know, Godspeed and, you know, go to him and everything. And hopefully the transition can be like calm and peaceful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hopefully, yeah. I'm sure it will be. He's, you know,
mm-hmm.
an amazing
mm-hmm.
human. He deserves that.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man. Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Mm-hmm.
So the other thing, we can change the subject for a minute, but there was another
mm-hmm.
shooting today
mm-hmm.
in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
A reporter and a girl were killed in an Orlando shooting spree.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, three dead, two injured in a series of shootings on Wednesday. 9-year-old girl,
mm-hmm.
TV reporter killed, 19-year-old suspect arrested, no motive identified. You know, it's just, it is like the wild, wild west. I mean, I just
mm-hmm.
don't understand. I mean, I do understand because there's too many guns and problems. A lot of them are mental
mm-hmm.
issues.
Mm-hmm.
Rest. And I don't know how this is going to, you know, play out, but every day there's something. So we need. You know, we need self-safe storage for firearms.
Mm-hmm.
And I also think that if you're
mm-hmm.
a gun owner and you don't have your gun safely stored, you know, in storage, locked up, in other words,
mm-hmm.
and you have family
mm-hmm.
that's under 18, children that are under 18 there, and they get a hold of your
mm-hmm.
gun, they need to be held accountable
mm-hmm.
if something happens.
Yeah.
You know, they should be held
yeah.
responsible, let's put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the
yeah,
universal, pardon?
Oh, no.
Yes.
Make your point.
Oh,
I'm making points backwards.
Yeah. And then the universal background check.
Mm-hmm.
It shouldn't be just for guns that are bought, like at Dick's Sporting Goods or, you know, places like that.
Mm-hmm.
It should be also at gun
mm-hmm.
shows and online. Universal.
Mm-hmm.
That means anywhere that you buy a gun, you have to have a
mm-hmm.
background check before you can purchase that gun.
Exactly. And have proper training.
Yes. Absolutely, and proper training,
mm-hmm.
and maybe a certificate
mm-hmm.
and liability insurance can go along with that if
mm-hmm.
you really want to push the issue, you know, because
mm-hmm.
gun violence right now is the leading cause of death for young people in this country right now, more than cancer or any
mm-hmm.
other disease, and this has to stop. It just has to stop, you know,
mm-hmm.
and I do believe that mental health issues
mm-hmm.
play a big part,
mm-hmm.
and I've said this before, and I'll say it again,
mm-hmm.
that I believe
mm-hmm.
mental health issues play a big part in our society, and for reasons, you know, people get sick and angry, and they take out
mm-hmm.
their hostilities on, you know, innocent people, and that should not happen.
Mm-hmm.
So we need extra measures for that. Maybe something like, let's say you know that family member or you know someone
mm-hmm.
you know anxiety and you know that they have a gun and they're having a bad day and they're having you know all kinds of issues, there should be some place
mm-hmm.
where you can you know call or petition the court or something so that they can be
yes.
notified in advance, you know, to say that
yes,
they're
ma'am.
A risk for others and then they can take care of it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's just
the Republican Party has lost their minds and gone over the cliff. Congressman Barrymore,
yeah.
before we take the first of the four calls waiting, Congressman Barrymore,
okay.
he represents the 2nd District in Alabama in Congress, and he wants
mm-hmm.
to have a national gun, meaning, you know, he puts through legislation, a bill co-sponsored by Lauren Boebert from Colorado and the liar
mm-hmm.
From New York, what's his face, George Santos, the co-sponsor of the bill saying America has a national gun, the AR-15.
Yeah.
And that's preposterous.
Yeah.
But anyway, this person holds on for over 10 minutes now. Macomb County, say first name where you come from, remember, folks. Hello, welcome to Kitchen Politics 123. What's cooking? Hello, Macomb County. You're live on air.
Oh, this is Elaine.
Elaine. Hello.
Good evening. I'd like some other people to call in and talk and let them air what's on their mind.
Okay,
No problem. Yes. Remember, when you call in, ladies and gentlemen, don't be shy, don't be afraid, don't bite hard unless you're a Republican. Let's take the second call. Hello, caller. Welcome to Kitchen Politics 123. What's cooking?
I'm doing good. I agree with what she's saying about gun control. My name's Khalil. I've been calling her show for a while. Mm-hmm. It's a good show. I need to ask
West
the senator
Virginia.
A question.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
What's up, Khalil?
Senator, how do you deal with the people who want to deflect attention away from when there's talk about inconsistencies on gun control? I mean, or inconsistencies like, you know, people that don't want gun control when it's actually like, you know, people that don't want it when it actually helps people but want it when it harms people, but then they deflect attention away from that. Because to me, when they deflect attention, they're just giving the gun nuts more of a reason to be wishy-washy and not care about anybody's safety.
Mm-hmm. Very true.
Mm-hmm.
But how do you, you know, because they have every single reason in the world for not to have, you know, good gun sense laws, every reason in the world. And they always go back to the same reason, in my eyes, is that they think it's their God-given right. And it's not your God-given right to kill people. So
yeah, and also
that
like
part
it
really upsets me.
The part that upsets me is also the people that deflect attention. Because I was talking to this guy and I made a sign and I protested.
Mm-hmm.
I said if we can ban smart guns, we can ban guns from certain races and religions. We can ban more dangerous guns, and he only took the part about if we ban guns. He didn't take the part of the inconsistencies of the gun nuts. He just took part of what he wanted to hear. That kind of pissed me off.
Well, of course.
You know, and
they're always like that. They only pick and choose, you know, what they pick and choose what they feel is right for them, you know, and they always go back to the same sense. You know, the Second Amendment gives me a right to have a gun. Well, no, not if you have mental issues and not if you're going to use it to kill people, no. And at this baloney about protecting yourself, really, you need to have a gun to go to, you know, Target or go grocery shopping now? I mean, honestly and truly, is there a need for that? No, we are a civilized society. At least we used to be a civilized society. I'm not sure.
I know, Khalil. Yeah, Kelly, you know, when I go to Walmart or, you know, even Starbucks and everything, and I say a clown comes in an AR-15 or AK-47 strapped around him, you know, the first thing that comes to mind is, wow, small dick energy, you know? They're like, oh, look at me, you know? And it's real sad, you know, because, you know, why would you come to a coffee shop or shop at Walmart strapped? You know, what, the grips in the aisle will attack you suddenly, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah.
You know, the Second Amendment was written back in 1776 when there were muskets and everything, and the forefathers didn't foresee AR-15s and AK-47s and high-powered weapons, you know? And we have amended the Constitution many times. You know, giving women the right to vote, giving minorities the vote. So why not on the Second Amendment, you know?
I don't know. You if you bring it up to these people, they don't see it until it's someone else. Like, they're so quick to call someone else a hypocrite for firing a fake gun in a movie, but they don't see their own hypocrisy. It's another thing about them.
And what about the poor wife or girlfriend who's being abused? A person like that have the right to own a gun. I don't think so.
They shouldn't have a right.
You know,
they shouldn't have a right to own a gun either. And
when the legislation should come in, where if you know someone that has, you know, domestic violence and things like that, mental health issues, you know, they should be able to be reported. There should be maybe a number that you can call and report the person, and you know that sort of thing, because it just makes no sense. I mean, how do we continue this path of destruction every single day?
Yeah, but, you know, in New Mexico, there are red flag laws. You know that you know, and all the countries allow you to do that. Where, you know, if you see something that's weird with the person, they can call a number and say, "Hey, this person is wife abuser. This person, you know, is a known gang member who have a record.
And what can
shouldn't
they
have
do
a
about
you know
it,
things
though?
Like that."
And
well,
what
red flag red flag laws enable the authorities to take the guns away in New Mexico, for example.
Okay.
And it allows not to get the gun in the first place, and not go in front of a judge to get the gun back. And if you have a criminal record, a record of beating your spouse, if you have a record of, you know, anything criminal, then you're not going to get back your gun. So red flag laws in New Mexico, other states are fighting against it because, you know, yeah, I mean, red states, I should say. The blue states are for it.
Yeah.
And they're working on legislation. You know, so, you know, Texas especially, and Florida fighting against.
Not only that, I got mad with the NRA because they accused this officer, this chief, who actually cared about his officers of exploiting his death. And not only was that basically an uncalled for statement about someone that he actually cared for, but it also, they do the same thing. They're accusing him of what they're doing. So those two those two situations was when they put their foot in their mouth, is when they accused him of something that not only they're doing, but something where they don't actually care. It's like when the Fast and Furious came, the only reason NRA and Alex Jones jumped on that is just to prove a point. You know, they didn't really learn from the Fast and the Furious. They didn't learn that the Fast and the Furious did not work, and it was a tragedy. But, you know, I bet if this was had been a gun from somebody else, he would have said it was an actor.
Yeah.
But only reason he's saying that is because he can prove a point against the ATF. And that was the whole part, was to prove a point against the ATF. It wasn't like these people actually cared about Brian Terry.
I mean, they tend to deflect, really, you know. When you accuse them with evidence and proof, hey, you know, this is what you're doing and everything, they want to, like, deflect and say, hey, you know, accuse them of the very same thing. And their supporters are not, you know, savvy enough or intelligent enough, you know. And they're like, oh, nobody's going to take my guns. Oh, these liberals. Every 2 to 4 years, it's the same thing in the South, in the Bible Belt. They're running the same damn thing. Oh, liberals may come to take your guns. Nobody may take your guns.
Yeah.
All we're asking you to be responsible when you have a gun, when you have kids around, when you have grandkids around. Lock up your guns.
Yeah.
You know, lock up the ammunition. You know, if you want to keep them gun safety, take them to a gun range, you know, and just do the right thing. You know, don't leave it hanging around. You know, for example, in California, there was this mother that happened a couple years back where she was driving and she saw her purse in the back seat and her, you know, 1-year-old child or 18-year-old child went through the purse and didn't know, the poor thing didn't know what he was doing and shot the mother on the highway in the back of the head, killing her. You know, imagine that child. You know, imagine that child when they grow up and say, oh, how did my mother die? Oh, you shot her in the back of the head when you're 18 months old. You know, and it's parents like that who are irresponsible. How can you throw your bag, handbag or your purse, where like a kid is there and the curious and everything at that age, do having a sense, and get shot in the back of the head? You know, it's things like that who want, you know, people with guns to be mindful of and go ahead.
Not only
you know,
that,
the other thing.
Sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
Not only that, but I was talking to somebody at my clubhouse in Charlottesville, Virginia, and he was saying that, he was saying he didn't believe in banning mentally ill people from guns, but he believed in banning Muslims. And that's the type of stuff we're up against, these people.
Oh, my God.
These people, people like that, they continue with this. Their only reason is they continue with this stuff about their right to bear arms is because people that deflect attention are giving them more of a reason to continue to do it. You know, because, like, if more people called it out, they would be like, you cannot say you don't want something that actually protects people, but you want something that's actually discriminatory and do it in the name of liberty. It's like, that's the problem. That's why I got mad when the man deflected.
And to get what they want in the name of, you're right, liberty, you know, and that's ridiculous. The other thing I think that we need to do is have a database of some sort where if you've been in a hospital for, you know, mental health reasons, or you, you know, have history of violence, or everything should be in this one database. And in that database, it should just come up, and that should be the red flag right there. No, you can't have a gun. Sorry, you know. But it's got to be universal all across the country. It can't be just in Michigan or New Mexico or California. It's got to be the same everywhere. It just does. I know here in Michigan, they are working right now as we speak on new gun legislation. We had two mass shootings at two different schools, one at a high school and, of course, the other one at Michigan State University in 15 months. I mean, that's too much. That is too many.
And that's why I don't really respect Rand Paul, because he would rather take a military-style weapons away from the police, but he would rather civilians have whatever they want. It's like, you can't have it both ways.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely.
Can
not.
I ask this gentleman a question?
Sure.
Hello. Okay.
Hello.
You said you were talking with one of those people that said that he should have a gun, but the Muslims shouldn't. Well,
yeah, that's what he was saying.
Okay. Does this gentleman drink to excess? And Muslims don't drink at all. They don't believe in alcohol.
I really don't know.
Would you rather have which person would you rather have a gun in their hand?
Of course.
I think it's kind of a moot point. I would rather have the sober person have the gun, not the drunk.
Of course.
I'm going to throw another question out there. Do you think a person who has a history of drinking, in other words, a drunk behind the wheel of a car, should have their gun taken away from them?
If they're doing it,
I think so. If they have an alcohol problem.
Public safety.
Okay.
Is that public safety?
So, in other words, DUI drinkers should have their guns taken away. Good. I'm glad somebody agrees with me.
I mean, if you have an alcohol problem or an addiction problem, you know, not just alcohol, even maybe drugs. Yeah. Why should you have a firearm? You know, I don't see any logical reason for it. I really don't. And that's why we need that database. We need that database just for those kinds of reasons.
But, you know, check this out, ladies and gentlemen. Remington, the gun manufacturers, they've now created the GR-15. And it's marketed for kids 6 and 7 years old. The marketing these guns to these 6 and 7 years old, that's 20% smaller. It's 20% smaller than the traditional AR-15. What do you think about marketing guns to kids who are like 6, 7, 8 years old? You know,
it's not good.
Crazy.
That's not the whole
thing. Insane.
It's almost like what they're doing is they're trying. They don't really care if they actually kill themselves, but they don't want people doing the little, like when you're underage, you can't do the simplest thing. But if you can't do the simplest thing, you shouldn't be having a gun anyway. But the reason, at least there should be at least some more consistency. If you can't vote till you're, you know, this age, or you can't do this or that, or this or that, you can't have a gun.
Nope.
While we're writing laws, don't you think we should have a law against capacity? I guess that's the term you'd use. In other words, do you need a handgun that was normally made for 6 shots? Now you can buy a clip that'll have 30 shots.
The bump stock.
Don't you think we need legislation on that?
Of course.
I think the other thing we need legislation on is the type of bullets. Bullets should not be the kind that when they enter a person's body, they explode.
Yeah.
Of course not.
The other problem I find is you had Michael Moore. He said we should disarm the police, but outpour. But then when he calls for gun control, that's when it's outpour. It's like these people, they only, you know.
Yeah, they don't care. They only care about their own rights, about their only right to bear arms. That is the only thing they care about, you know. And it's silly. And we all know that there are responsible gun owners out there. I never want people to think that we don't know that, because we do know that. There's people that hunt. They go to different, you know, shooting events and, you know, in the ranges, et cetera, et cetera. That's all fine and good if you're a responsible gun owner and you lock up your gun. But if you have issues and you just carry a gun around because you're angry all the time, you shouldn't have a gun. Bottom line, no reason for it. None whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
Well, our family personally knew a police officer, and when he would visit with his family at our house, he was allowed to carry a concealed weapon. The first thing he would do is he would go to my husband, and they would take the gun upstairs, and they would lock it up in the safe. And he was a police officer. And he was allowed to carry it. He said no. He did not believe that that weapon should be on him with the children and family and friends.
Yeah, and he's right. That's very responsible. And I wish everyone would think like that.
Yeah.
You know, but they don't. People don't.
Yeah.
You know, they.
I know a man.
Use it to, you know.
I want to change gears a little bit. American exceptionalism. Okay. Do you think that we're witnessing the end of American exceptionalism?
I'm not sure. I don't know what that exactly is.
Okay. American exceptionalism is the belief that the United States is either distinctive, unique, or exemplary compared to other nations. You know, and proponents of it argue that the values, political system, and historical development of the United States are unique in human history, often with the implication that it's both destined and entitled to play a distinct and positive role on the world stage. So basically, you know, we're unique, exemplary, meaning we're like the shining beacon of hope for the world, basically, compared to other nations like Russia, China, Korea, whoever, or we used to be, I think. So do you think that moment has passed? It's coming to an end?
In a way it is. And I'm not saying it in a good way. And the way I feel is also about the other things. It's like so many people, there are a lot of people, like there's a guy in my state, he just goes around with the whole... He claims to be Christian, but he doesn't, and he's against, he claims to be a person for the Constitution, but he's against LGBT, and he claims that they're grooming kids and all that stuff. He has an F5 in almost every video.
Yeah.
Every video. He has a conflict with somebody. And then not only that, but he's two-faced when it comes to black people, and I call him out for that. You know, you're going to laugh when someone makes the Aunt Jemima joke, but then you're going to tell us about the Democratic plantation. That's something I cannot stand. The only people that have the right to do that or the libertarian conservative, but not the right-wing conservative. He's a right-wing conservative, mm-hmm. and he has no right telling us about mm-hmm. some Democratic plantation, especially if he's going to be laughing at racist stuff and using racial slurs.
For sure.
And the thing, you know, Palela, with people who are very anti-gay and anti-LGBTQ, when the hit up against it so badly, you have to wonder yourself sometimes, you know, are they, you know, fascinated in the lifestyle? You know, are they curious? You know, because you can't be preoccupied so much of your time hating people so much. You know, and as we notice with Republicans who are elected to Congress and across the board, you know, on different levels, the same ones who call themselves Christian, family values, born again, same ones tapping the feet on the bathroom stalls, having sex with the interns on Capitol Hill, you know, things like that. The hypocrisy is so ridiculous. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, it is.
And the whole Democratic presentation.
Well, also the thing that they think that we don't see any of it. They really think the American people are stupid. That's the part that gets me more than anything else, is that they think that they can just pass things around and say things and pass bills and legislation and, you know, take away rights and everything else, and we're all okay with it. No, we're not. We're not okay with
mm-hmm.
it. We see what's going mm-hmm. on. We understand what's going on. And as far as your question, David, America mm-hmm. on the state, you know, the world age as being the beacon of light, I do believe that that's what President Biden is trying to do right now. I truly believe that, mm-hmm. you know, he's got criticized because he went, you know, for the year, well, I don't want to call it anniversary, but, you know, for the war that's going on right now
mm-hmm.
in Ukraine.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
when he did that speech in Poland, it was an awesome speech. And he talks about, you know, unity and peace and the world coming together and the strength of democracy. And he realizes what's at stake. And you know that the people in Europe, he has an 82% approval rating in Europe. America needs
mm-hmm.
to take notice, because
mm-hmm.
America doesn't understand what we have in a president right now. Yes, he's an older man,
mm-hmm.
but he has experience.
Mm-hmm.
He has wisdom, and he is a kind, gentle man, and I think he's very smart in everything that he does. And I believe
mm-hmm.
that he is trying to help Ukraine, because, you know, Ukraine is a country that's rich in minerals and, you know, wheat
mm-hmm.
and everything else, and it was a country that was
mm-hmm.
moving forward, and a beautiful country
mm-hmm.
at that, and it was destroyed for no reason. You know, and Putin tells
mm-hmm.
his people that America started the war. No, the West did not start the war. And
right.
that really
Well, it's sort of a shady, it's sort of a gray area, really, because when you look at it, let's break it down. Okay, so after 1990, when Germany was reunified,
mm-hmm.
you know, Russia was saying, okay, so I hope you're not, hoping to expand eastward in Europe, because, you know, okay, the Cold War is over, blah, blah, blah. You know, so Germany is just, you know, who you want, and Italy and whoever. And you say, yeah, of course, you know, you will not expand. That was the agreement between Putin and whoever the president was back then. Was it George H.W. Bush?
Yeah.
You know, you can, not saying, giving an excuse to Putin, because any country who veered a sovereign country, you're wrong. You know, point blank, you're wrong. So when you think about
yeah.
it, they invited Finland, Sweden, Iceland, Greenland, Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania, who am I forgetting, Poland, and Ukraine to join NATO and
yeah.
Georgia, you know?
Yeah.
And you know, it's basically right next to Russia. And when, you know, countries join NATO, they usually put ballistic missiles on, you know, their land. And, you know, being right next to Russia or near to Russia, you know, Russia felt threatened. You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So you can see where Putin's coming from. But again, mm-hmm. I'm not picking off of Putin. I never will, because the Soviet Union, the former Soviet Union, nor Russia, has always envied America. It's like our natural enemies. Even before 1917, yep. when the communist Bolsheviks came over and got rid of the royal family, and there was this like competitive spirit between the United States and Russia, you know, and they're trying to become something that they're not, you know, because they have this for years since the Tsars competed great right down to current day. They have this system where, you know, they've been ruled by autocrats and like this one man rule or one person rule, one party rule, even though communism fell in 1989, you know, so it will never change. It's like it's ingrained in them, the culture, you know. So when Putin invade a sovereign country like Ukraine, who's next? Moldova, which is next door. Latvia, Lithuania, Estonia. They're also next door to Russia. You know, when does it stop? The same thing with Hitler. Exactly. When Hitler, you know, was expanding to the Rhineland, to Poland, to wherever. You know, and he had a Soviet Union backing. You know,
mm-hmm.
Stalin backed him and signed this peace accord, which was later broken by mm-hmm. Hitler, and thank God he did, because the world would be under Nazi rule now if that didn't happen and the Soviet Union helped us.
Yep.
So
yep.
even when there were our allies in World War II, we couldn't trust them because Stalin, you know, approached Adlai Stevenson. He was a 1952 Democratic nominee against Ike Eisenhower. And, you know, again in 1956, Adlai Stevenson was a nominee. On both occasions, the KGB came to Adlai Stevenson and said, "Here what, give you $100 million if you can tell us the secrets of the United States. You as a presidential candidate get briefings and all on what's happening with the nuclear weapon capability and what have you." And Adlai Stevenson, who he and Ike Eisenhower literally hated each other, you know, Stevenson was such a patriot. He went to the man who beat him twice, who they hate each other with a passion, say, "Here what, the KGB approached with this," you know. Do you think Donald Trump would ever have ever done that? You know, Donald Trump is a rat bastard who deserves to be in prison. And everybody
Absolutely
who enabled not. Him should be in prison.
Absolutely.
You know?
There's no, you know, Kim Jong-un, remember?
mm-hmm. Yeah, all of them, all the dictators, he praised them
yeah.
and kissed their ass. Like, oh, yes,
you know? This is what he said.
Because he wants
this
to them.
This is what he said just recently. And his what is his social or something it's called?
Truth Social, which is garbage.
Truth Social, which is, we know it's all lies. But this is what he said.
Mm-hmm.
Kim Jong-un of North Korea, who I got to know and got along with very well during my years as president, is not happy with the U.S. and South Korea doing big training and air exercises together. He feels threatened. Even I would constantly complain that South Korea pays us little to do these extremely expensive and drills. It's really ridiculous. We have 35,000 in jeopardy soldiers there. I had a deal for full payment to us, billions of dollars, and Biden gave it away. Such a shame. Does any of that make any sense?
He, you know, because Putin and the Russian oligarchs have so much secrets and skeletons against Donald Trump, he's doing their thing, basically. You know, even one that could say what Donald Trump is doing. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, if it's about money, he'll send his children and his grandchildren, he'll sell his store to make a buck. That's how corrupt, you know, the rat bastard Donald Trump is. You know?
Yeah.
So, you know, do you think it's too late to contain China? In terms of, do you think that Red Panda, China, is a threat to global dominance, you know, to the United States, because the economy, well, their economy has slowed down somewhat and everything.
In
terms of trade, they have most favored nation status trading partnership in America. But because of this thing in Ukraine, the relationship is strained. What do you think it is too late for us in the United States to contain China as a threat to global dominance.
It's hard.
Because
you know,
China has gone in on the African continent, has gone over the world to help different nations in terms of
mm-hmm.
helping them with, you know, with infrastructure and what have you. But go ahead.
It's hard to say with China, because China and Russia, you know, they may partner up. You know, if they feel threatened, they may partner up. They're, you know that Putin is upset because we're helping Ukraine, and all the other NATO countries are helping Ukraine, and he's mad because of that. So sure, do I think that maybe they'll, you know, partner up eventually? They just might do that.
Well, no, that has,
I mean,
that
we have
actually, because China's offered to send weapons to Ukraine to fight Ukraine. Iran has sent fighters, jet fighters, and war machines. Who else? North Korea has jumped into the fray. Even South Africa, you know, you ever hear about the BRIC nations? Brazil, Russia, India, China. South Africa jumping a friend of saying that, you know, they want to help, or the hint that they want to help Russia in Ukraine. And our side will have Israel, we'll have the NATO alliance, of course. You know, so, I mean, you know, I hate to say it, but we're just on the cusp of World War III. And it's not going to be a win-win for anybody, because once you know, atomic bombs are exchanged, then you know, of a population of 8 billion in the world, how much people of that 8 billion is going to be dead because of nuclear proliferation?
Oh,
you get what I'm saying?
The world, everything will die. The world will die, you know. But this war, you know, in Ukraine, I mean, they have spent billions of dollars. You know, $12 billion on missiles. I mean, you know, they've lost so many aircrafts, and it's just, you know, their helicopters cost $10 million each. He's got money to do whatever he wants, it seems, you know, and he's not going to stop. That's all that's to that. So, I mean, I think the president has no choice but to continue doing what he's doing. He's trying to bring peace to the world. That's the way I look at it, you know, and we'll see what happens, you know.
Well, the thing is, no, you know, why didn't the United States jump in to help Darfur, for example, where, you know, a lot of people were murdered, you know, the Hutu versus Tutsis in Rwanda, you know, the United States, you know, because black people we don't give a shit about, you know, and just that, you know, we didn't go into Syria, and Russian troops still there in Syria, you know, because they're not white people. But of course, we went to Kosovo, went to Bosnia, went wherever. But I digress.
Well,
China's influence has grown. Yeah, go ahead.
Let's just change lanes a little bit. What does everyone think about McCarthy releasing the January 6th footage to Tucker Carlson? 14,000 hours of it.
No, actually, 71,000 hours.
Oh, 71? Okay.
71,000 hours.
To Tucker Carlson. I mean... What does that say to you about, first of all, McCarthy as Speaker of the House? What does that tell you right there? I mean, he must have made a deal with them to become Speaker.
Go on, Lori.
Saying he must have made a deal with the devil to become Speaker, because to give that footage to Fox News, Tucker Carlson, it's like giving it to the devil in my eyes. He is going to take that footage and he is going to edit it so that everything that, you know, the January 6th committee has worked for is going to be ruined, but only to Fox viewers. If you follow what I'm saying, only to Fox viewers. It's,
to
it's
begin
disgusting.
With, it's treasonous. It's treasonous.
Yes.
Even if he gave it to CNN and MSNBC, he had no business
yes.
giving it away. It belonged in the archives.
Yes.
January 6th is still under investigation. I say that McCarthy committed treason, period.
I agree. And I don't understand, you know, why now? Why did he give it away now? I mean, you know, it's just...
Because he cut a deal with the devil, just like you said.
Well,
I mean,
basically, he gave it to Tucker Carlson because Tucker Carlson is such a chameleon that, you know, Fox News have this gift of, like, bending and twisting things. And we all know
mm-hmm.
that, you know, Fox News could edit in a certain way to make certain things in favor of the insurrectionists and, you know, to Donald Trump himself, you know. And
yeah.
this is what doctor things to make it work out for their side, basically. And he made a deal with the devil to become Speaker of the House because he gave up all his power, basically. Marjorie Taylor Greene, Raven McForehead, Matt Gaetz, that is, Raven McForehead, Goldberg. You know, what did he say exactly to them to make them finally capitulate and, you know, and make him become Speaker after 15 rounds of voting? You know, he gave up a lot. And basically, he's the weakest Speaker in the House in the history of the House of Representatives because he wanted that position so bad. He just, like, castrated himself just for the position and prestige. And a man like that has no integrity, no class, no value to the people he represents in California District 27.
No.
You know, he has nothing. You know, tomorrow morning, if the far right and the pro-Trump people get sick of him, one person can come over on the House floor and say, hey, we're calling a vote for a new Speaker of the House. He give away that power to them. You know, so we're back at square one because, again, Republicans just care about power and about appeasing their lords, who are the corporations and rich individuals. They don't care about making legislation. Because if they did care about making legislation for the benefit of all America, they wouldn't have shit like, oh, you know, let's put JR-15. Let's have no background checks for AR-15s and other high-powered weapons. You know, everything that's supposed to benefit America to move forward and be better, they're against it.
Mm-hmm.
And what they're putting forward is just inconsequential and stupid. You know?
Well, the thing is, too, you know, when Kevin McCarthy was asked by CNN, you know, why he did that, he went on to say that he promised. I was asked in the press about these tapes, and I said they do belong to the American public. I think Sunshine lets everybody make their own judgment several times. I mean, but he only gave them Fox News. Think about that.
To begin with, McCarthy took an oath of office to not collude with the enemy, foreign or domestic. That was an insurrection. It is still under investigation. And that bastard committed treason. He had no business giving it to anybody. Fox News, MSNBC, CNN, period. That insurrection is still under investigation. So therefore, McCarthy is the biggest hypocrite that ever come down the goddamn tube.
Yeah.
But remember, Senator Ron Johnson from Wisconsin, remember he did say that, oh, it's just a bunch of tourists, you know? Which tourists going to somebody's capital and pee in a corridor and smear shit on the walls and invade people's offices and steal computers, you know, and fill themselves, literally breaking the windows to walk through, you know, the Rotunda building on Capitol Hill. Which tourist does that? You know, that's insane.
No.
You know?
And they think
the people,
people
of Wisconsin,
are
God bless their soul, the people of Wisconsin re-elected Ron Johnson. Oh, tell me, how does that make sense? Seriously.
Yep.
I don't understand people that complain and bitch and moan and whine and re-elected Ron Johnson.
It's just sickening. It is just sickening.
I mean, they were walking a park. They had to break the windows down to get in. It was a walk in the park.
Yep.
And McCarthy swore an oath, along with the rest of those Republicans, to protect this country from enemy, foreign and domestic. But they're not doing a very good job of protecting this country from anybody.
Of course. And this can cause another insurrection. It can cause harm to the country. It's a dry run for 2024.
Yeah. It's a dry run for 2024.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, now the, you know, everything's out there in the open. Where the cameras are, now they got to go through the White House and change everything around.
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
And changing the rules of the House where Congress people can come in with loaded weapons. What do you think about that? What do you think about that?
Yeah. It's terrible.
I didn't hear you.
Yeah,
the
first thing they did was take out the metal detectors and put in the working legislation to allow sitting members of the House of Representatives to bring in loaded weapons on the House floor. And it got rid of the Ethics Committee. What do you all think about that? Laura, what do you think?
Just deplorable. There is nothing else to say except deplorable. And it's treasonous, like Elaine said. The other thing about McCarthy, he's already been doing fundraising, and he did indeed promise to release the footage as part of his bid to become Speaker. And it was something Republican Matt specifically demanded. In fact, it was a lengthy list of demands that Gates walked in McCarthy's office with on Monday night before the Speaker's vote, according to a GOP source familiar with the list. So, in other words, he has a list of things to do, you know, that are treasonous in my eyes, because he wanted to become Speaker of the House. How can he have any sort of respect for himself, this man? How can McCarthy respect himself at all? How?
Again, he sold his soul to get power and prestige and the money that come with it.
But we all see through it. We saw what he did. We can see what's happening now, you know, and we can see why it's happening, because the crazies are the ones that are trying to run the country right now. And we know who they are. We can name them by name. So who does he think he's fooling? He's only fooling himself. That's all he's fooling. He's not fooling me. He's not fooling Elaine.
Well, you know,
he's not fooling.
He's not the only one without a spine. How about Vice President Pence, who had a hangman noose outside waiting for him. And he is sitting back and letting all this crap go on. And now he's saying, let's make peace. That is another top-notch hypocrite.
Yep, he is. He's a hypocrite. He's disgusting.
He should be calling McCarthy out.
Yeah,
he has a good sense. He had a good sense of not going into the limousine because I knew that I wanted to kill him. And hang him or whatever. But he's running for the Republican nomination. He's not announced yet and everything. So he's trying not to offend anybody within the Republican caucus or Trump base, which is a scum of the earth, basically. You know, because, again, these Republicans have no standards, basically. They scrape at the bottom of a barrel. They have no integrity.
Yeah.
They have no class. You know?
None of it.
Mike Pence... what's her name? The one from South Carolina, Nikki Haley, who announced recently. None of them.
Nope.
You know, maybe Liz Cheney and Ann Kinsinger, former congressman from Illinois. But, you know, the rest of them have nothing. They have no backbone. I don't know how to walk at times. You know?
Yeah. Yep. I agree.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know,
no wonder how that was slipping all over the ground in the walk.
Yeah. And speaking of Pence, he was interviewed, I think it was on Sunday, and now he is saying that cutting Medicare and Social Security ultimately needs to be on the table. Why?
Yeah, he's pandering to the right wing in his party, to the scum of the party. Who are so dumb, the people that support Republicans are so dumb, especially in the South, who depend on federal aid and Social Security and Medicare the most.
Yes.
You know, they're
and
still
Medicaid.
Voting these people. Yeah, still voting these people who want to take things from them, what they earn.
Yeah.
But, go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off.
It's okay. And then he went on to say, we all know the real issue is in terms of long-term debt for the United States, Pence told CNBC on Wednesday. I respect the Speaker's commitment to take Social Security and Medicare off the table for the debt ceiling negotiations, but we've got to put them back on the table in the long term. It's not their money to touch. People have worked all their freaking lives to put a little bit of money aside for themselves, and it's their money. It's not anyone else's money. It's not anyone's to touch. So why do they
think this
is their bank account now? They think that this is their bank account. It is not their bank account. It has nothing to do with the debt. It has nothing to do with
With
the budget.
Yeah, they've been using it for decades in these different wars and never putting it back.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah. You know, I mean, it has nothing to do with any of the things that it does not affect the budget. It has nothing to do with any of that, not the debt ceiling, anything. It is just a fund where people have paid their money in, and when they get to a certain age, they can collect it. That's it.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, how about this? How about this?
Yeah.
Tax rich people and corporations.
Well, yeah. We've been saying that forever.
Yeah.
Okay,
changing gears again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. East Palestine train derailment. Donald Trump,
pink vomit,
was there recently.
Yeah.
And he was fact-checked for his remarks and everything. He went to McDonald's and buy them food and what have you. So here's like a 1 minute clip.
To the people of East Palestine and to the nearby communities in Ohio and Pennsylvania, we have told you loud and clear you are not forgotten.
Today, former President Donald Trump met residents in East Palestine nearly 3 weeks after a train carrying hazardous materials crashed.
East Palestine Mayor Trent Cottaway was able to chat with the former president this afternoon alongside Ohio Senator J.D. Vance. Despite his claims, Trump's visit comes after federal organizations like FEMA announced they were coming to the area.
Do you have any concerns for the residents here in East Palestine?
Oh, they're going to be treated so good now. FEMA's coming up because we came here, and FEMA does a great job, and they'll be taken care of now. They were not going to be taken care of, but they're going to be taken care of.
Do you hear any concerns from the mayor or from the fire chief?
Well, the mayor's done a fantastic job. The fire chief has done a fantastic job. The problem was the federal government was going to send nobody, and when I said it was coming, they changed their tune rapidly, and now they're sending the whole group. So FEMA's coming, and they're coming with a lot of help and a lot of money.
To be clear, Governor DeWine announced the Department of Health and Human Services and the CDC were coming before Mr. Trump as well, and the EPA has also been on the ground for weeks. On a different note, Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg will be in East Palestine coming up tomorrow.
Yeah, so again, Trump is a liar. Either he's a liar or he doesn't know what he's talking about, because FEMA, the president of the United States, Joe Biden, said, hey, FEMA's coming in. And what did Mike DeWine, the governor, the Republican governor of Ohio, said? Oh, don't bother coming. We don't need federal aid.
Yep.
So it's a no-win situation, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, the thing is that they're playing politics They're playing political mm-hmm. games. And when people's lives are in danger, that's what they do.
Mm-hmm.
They want to use it for their own gain, you know. And mm-hmm. once again, they think that we are stupid and don't see it. They think that they can
yeah.
just pull the wool that, over everyone's eyes, and we don't see it.
Who was
but they're wrong.
And who was the president? Who was the president when all regulations, when these regulations were
mm-hmm.
pulled, Barack Obama was president. He put these regulations in, these strict regulations. And as soon as Trump came in, that was one of the first things to remove regulations.
Yep.
Why? Because Obama, you know, set in regulations.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
And he has a nerve, the
yep.
gall, call out Joe
yep.
Biden saying, oh, it was on his administration that happened. No.
Yeah.
You deregulated Donald Trump, you know, and
yeah.
people of East Palestine, whatever the place name, you know,
mm-hmm.
it didn't surprise me because the vote read overwhelmingly.
Yeah,
you know?
This is
short-sighted stupidity. I can't stand with
yep.
these people. Trump was a president who removed regulations to protect them, and yet still they're kissing Trump's ass and blaming Biden. And blaming Obama. I mean, what is this Orwellian world?
And Pete as well, Pete Buttigieg. They're blaming him too because he didn't go there right
mm-hmm.
away, you know. But Pete can take
mm-hmm.
care of himself. We know that. He's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't understand
people. Did you see the speech? He's talking to people who are going through a devastating time. And he was talking about the Ohio football team.
Oh, no, I didn't see
I'm
that.
Sure that's
no.
what they wanted to hear.
Thank God I didn't see that. Hear that.
Oh, my God. I saw that part of the speech, and I said, this is it. I got to shut the TV off before I
yeah.
throw something at it.
Yeah.
He's
no,
talking
I did
about
not.
The
Thank
Ohio
goodness.
Football team.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, speaking of
no.
Pete Buttigieg, Pete Buttigieg, he hit back
mm-hmm.
at Donald Trump when
yes.
the media trying to like catch him a
yep.
gotcha question, and here it is.
Yep.
One thing he could do is express support for reversing the deregulation that happened on his lot. I heard him say he had nothing to do with it, even though it was in his administration. So if he had nothing to do with it, and they did it in his administration against his will, maybe he could come out and say that he supports moving in a different direction. Well, one thing he could do is express
So exactly, support. Exactly. You know,
exactly.
Pete Buttigieg called him out on it, on the bullshit.
Pete knows how to take care of himself. There is no doubt.
Mm-hmm.
That man is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
He has a way with words, and he just knows how to put people in their place, and they don't even know that it's happening when he does it. That's the best part of it. So
mm-hmm.
I love Pete.
Yeah.
You know, it's just crazy, just absolutely crazy. Then we have... is there anything else, David, that you wanted to say about Ohio, Palestine?
No, not really. You know, I wish
yeah.
the people in East Palestine all the very best.
Yeah, I agree.
You know?
It's
you know,
such a thing.
I stopped voting Republican.
Yeah.
Republicans don't care
mm-hmm.
for you, East Palestine. You know?
No, they don't.
Come on,
they don't care about anybody. No.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when they start talking, you know, cutting Medicare, Social Security, Medicaid, you know, things that keep people alive. That should tell you right then and there that, oops,
mm-hmm.
shouldn't vote for them. That should just tell you right away. You don't have to hear anything else, really.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those are programs that people need and have worked for. And it's crazy,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm. In East Kentucky,
and,
you know today in East Kentucky, rain fell and for some sort of environmental calamity and reason, nobody know what happened or why it's happening. Birds just fell out of the sky, dead, you know? And
birds?
Yeah, birds, you know? So,
wow.
the hot zone winds from Ohio, from the accident in Ohio in East Palestine. Downwind from Ohio, and so the skies were murky and everything. So birds dropping dead all of a sudden in East Kentucky. But
I
of course,
know
you know, people saying, oh, you know, yes, you can go back to your homes and everything. You can drink the water. You can breathe the air. Come on, man. It's just like in Michigan,
they did infuriate me when I see them. Like DeWine was in, they were in somebody's house and they were all standing around. They were all pretending, you know, they were drinking a glass of water, all of them. It makes me sick to my stomach, you know, because who knows? It's just, what is one sip of water going to do to you, for you? Nothing. It's not going to kill
you.
But
the thing is,
you know,
it's not pipe water. He was stupid to drink a pipe water. It's for sure.
Exactly.
It's, you know, all that bottled water. You know?
Yep.
You know, the bottle is out of sight. That was in a picture. You know? If people are stupid enough to believe Mike DeWine and any Republican at this point, then, hey, if death comes to you, so be it. Good luck and good riddance. Right?
Yeah,
because,
it's like they were,
you know,
sitting
in the herd.
They were cheering each other on, you know, celebrating, drinking a glass of water. Really? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
You know, people are that,
the
they think people are that, like I said before, they just think that people are stupid. They don't have time. They believe what they say. They voted for them, and they believe what they say, and that's the bottom line. You know?
Well, the thing is, yeah, some people are stupid. Why? Because they keep voting Republican, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, people are stupid. Some people are stupid.
Yeah.
You know?
Some are, but, you know. There's some of us that, you know, can look left and right and we can think for ourselves and we know what's happening and why it's happening. And, you know, we try to make others aware, but some don't want to hear. So.
Yeah, because they're so ignorant and bunker. Yeah, I guess that's that happens, especially in the South, because, you know, a lot of incestuous activities happen there, really. So, you know, the siblings, the parents need the siblings and the casting straight. So, you know, you can't really blame them, you know.
Yep.
But anyway, moving on. Do you think we're witnessing the start of World War III and all this thing going on in Ukraine versus Russia and the neighbors of Russia getting nervous? Because Moldova is shitting bricks, basically, because they think that Putin will invade them next and they have zero army. What do you think, Lori?
Like I said before, it's hard to say, but it would not surprise me, you know, especially if things don't go well for them in Ukraine, which really they're not going that great. Ukraine is putting up a good fight. They really are. And Russia's had thousands of casualties. And I think their soldiers are basically, a lot of them are dead, and a lot of them don't want to serve. So they just pick people off the street and make them go there and fight. They're not even soldiers. So, and they're probably, you know, people that have been in prison, et cetera, and they just sent them there to fight in Ukraine. And I really do think that they put up, you know, with the help of the allies, of course, you know, the United States and, you know, the NATO allies, I think that they've done a great job supplying them but not putting boots on the ground. That's what I think.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as World War III. I mean, the thing is about World War III is we all know that if that were to even start, there would be no civilization left because it wouldn't be like World War II, you know, boots on the ground and, you know, that sort of thing. It would just be nuclear and everything would be dead. I mean, say goodbye
right now.
Unless
you can find a bunker. Unless you can find a bunker to hide under. And stay for how much years?
Yeah, years, because there will be no environment. There'll be no, you know, no water. There won't be anything. There will be nothing. And so the thought of World War III is we just would say goodbye. That's the way I look at it. So,
yeah,
you know,
it's
and
reality,
it's really,
that, yeah.
And that was just one last thing.
Go ahead.
Yes. And I was just going to say, if Putin really does have cancer like they say he has, he doesn't have anything to lose. He doesn't wouldn't care, you know, if he's dying of cancer. So, because he's going to die anyway. So I'm not sure. Yeah. It's hard to know.
Yeah. And CNN, 3 weeks ago, had this report where they spoke to Russians on the street and asked them about what they think about Western tanks in Ukraine. And some people just indifferent towards this war, and some people are pro-Putin and anti-Western. You know, it's a mixed bag, the responses, basically. You know, I'm going to play it short and everything. I think it's going to get, they're going to get weary. Why? Because it's hurting the Russian economy. With the Nord Stream pipeline being destroyed. You know, Russia saying it's the CIA and the Navy and Sweden and the United States saying it's Russia. Nobody knows what's going on. But here's a report from CNN, what Russians think about Western tanks in Ukraine.
Propaganda machine is moving into high gear as the war in Ukraine nears its first anniversary. Shameless supporters in state media are making a mockery of Western weapons. Not everyone's buying them. You know, Nick Robertson reports.
He says the Russian state media anchor points to a huge graphic alleging flaws in the NATO tanks. It's purposeful propaganda playing down risk the Russian troops in Ukraine does seem to be working. Tanks are going to be bad for the Americans and Germans, he says. We're going to win regardless, Sergei tells us. It's just enlarging the conflict. If we pull out, the West will put more pressure on us. But not everyone buys the state TV hype. Putin has killed off independent media, but not independence of mind. This young film student tells our team, a friend was drafted and deployed, but has now disappeared. I'm for peace, she says. It's very sad. People are dying. I don't know if it's true or not, or what's going on in this war, this lady tells us, but I do know people who've been killed. Some of them are friends. All emotions the Kremlin likes to prey on. Around the capital, air defense systems have been lofted atop government buildings to let some subtle message. Russia's under threat. It's leverage Putin needs to drum up more recruits for the increasingly unpopular meat grinder that is Ukraine's frontline trenches.
What is stand here, Sean?
In more primetime Putin propaganda, Yevgeny Popov pops a pun for the audience, tells them the German Leopard 2 tanks will burn very nicely. Another Putin acolyte. The insanely popular Vladimir Solovyov asked the audience, after all this, isn't Berlin a lawful target? Such is the stitch-up in Russian media. Putin is able to spin almost any message he wants. His TV puppets serve farce and fear in equal measure. But even that's not going down so well with some. Everyone is listening to Solovyov's opinion, this lady says, but it would be good if the experts started expressing their real opinions instead of obeying orders from Putin.
Will pick up the tempo of the war, try to attack Ukrainian forces. Ukraine, of course, for its part, wants to push through. It describes these tanks as an iron fist that will allow them to spearhead their offensive in the spring. But a note of caution here, Kim. In total, we have just over 100 tanks that have been promised. Among them are the 31 Abrams to be exact, tanks from the United States. Those could take over a year before they actually arrive in Ukraine. As you heard there, the Leopard tanks arriving sooner, but this is a lot less than what President Zelensky says he needs. He was asking for over 300 tanks, and as I said, just over 100 going into Ukraine. But really what this is about is the bigger picture here, Kate. This is about the political will of allies to provide tanks, something that was unimaginable a year ago. So for Kyiv, they're hoping it opens the door a little bit to ask for more of those weapons on their wish list. Kim?
Lawrence, thanks so much. Salma Dolzbees in London.
Yes, so Russia, it costs in Russia $100 billion a day fighting Ukraine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's on a Business Insider when you go online. This is on businessinsider.com. $100 billion.
Mm-hmm.
What would you do with $100 billion? Seriously.
It's,
you know?
A day.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just, there's no words for it. I mean, there are just no words that can put it into context, how tragic it is, how many lives they've destroyed, and people they have killed for what reason.
Yeah.
It just.
Yeah. Well, do you think the West should have done a stand in the east of Ukraine, that's borderline with Russia? 90% of the people in Donetsk in east Ukraine are ethnic Russians. So if they appeased Putin and just gave him that, you think Putin would have been satisfied? Or do you think Putin would have Hitler route and keep wanting more? Because already when Obama was in there, he took Crimea, he invaded the state of Georgia to, you know, unite with the Russian Federation. Do you think he is a person who can be appeased, or he just want more?
He cannot be appeased. I mean, he's spending $1 billion a day. Think about that for a second. No.
$10 billion a day.
Or $10 billion, yes, a day. He he can't be appeased. No. He's like a man that's crazed. I don't know what thinks he's going to gain from it. I don't understand. I can't even get into someone's brain like that.
But you know what? This is my take. He wants to reestablish the Soviet Union, basically. That's why Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania, Finland, Sweden, Norway, Denmark, all Scandinavian countries. Who else? Poland. You know, Poland is basically messing themselves because they seen Nazism and Hitler invading them in 1939. It's like deja vu for them, you know, and you know, there's no appeasing Putin because he wants to expand Russia and reinstate the Soviet Union, the former USSR, because he wants Russia to be a dominant force in the world like what the United States and China is. You get what I'm saying? And China, on the other hand, you know, they're going to places like the African continent and all over the world. Because they've been to Jamaica. And it's them. What would take 10 years to build a highway, a superhighway? It took the Chinese in Jamaica 2 years to build that goddamn thing. 2 years. $100 billion U.S. dollars. You know, 2 years, a 10-year project take 2 years. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so they're going to these different third world countries, developing countries, you know, and helping them out, and so they're trying to come in to the turf where America usually come in, say, hey, we're friends, what do you want? Boom. IMF World Bank, you know, and basically rip these people. Where Chinese come in and say, hey, okay, you want this, that? What is in it for me? How can we help you to better your country? You know, so that approach by China, you know, infiltrating and the influence.
Yeah, it's just hard to know.
So we have 30 minutes. Let's focus now on the races. Class 1 seats are up in 2024. And I'm going to name the events. The events calendar for 2024 election season. So starting January 22nd, the first scheduled meeting is the Iowa caucus.
That's January 22nd, 2024. Mm-hmm. And followed by January 30th is New Hampshire primary. The first two that usually go. It's been a tradition with Iowa and New Hampshire. Moving along, March 5th will be Super Tuesday. And Hawaii Republican Caucus will be March 5th as well. March 12th is primary in Idaho, Michigan, Mississippi, Missouri, Washington State, and North Dakota. North Dakota mm-hmm. will have a caucus. March 19th, primaries in Arizona, Florida, Illinois, Ohio. April 2nd, 2024, Wisconsin primaries. That's always a hotly contested primary with both parties. April 23, 2024, primaries in Delaware, Pennsylvania, Maryland, and Rhode Island. April 30th, Connecticut primary. May 7th, 2024, Indiana primary. May 14th, we have the Nebraska, West Virginia primaries. May 24th, the Oregon primary. And June 4th, the primary for Missouri, New Jersey, New Mexico, South Dakota, and D.C. But usually by April 2nd, Wisconsin primary, candidates usually wrap it up in terms of delegate count and everything. So we'll see how Ron DeSantis versus Trump versus Nikki Haley go and whoever else jumped into the race. Mike Pence is planning to jump in the race, obviously. Do you think Jeb Bush will come into the race? What do you think?
Judd, who did you say? I'm sorry, I missed what you said.
Jeb Bush, former governor of Florida, Jeb Bush. Do you think he'll jump in?
I don't know. Interesting. Good question.
Mm-hmm.
He's been awfully quiet.
Quiet.
You never know, though.
Mm-hmm.
Not my candidate, that's for sure.
What do you think, Khalil? Do you think another Bush may come into the race or wait till the next cycle in 2028?
Do I think now someone else will come in the race?
Do you think a Bush will come into the race or wait for the next election cycle in 2028 to run for president?
I get the feeling he's coming in 2028.
Mm-hmm. So he'll wait. Mm-hmm. Do you think any Republican is qualified or capable of defeating Joe Biden?
Only the libertarian one.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think at this point they're insane. They're not logical.
Mm-hmm.
They're not pro, the American people right now. No, they're tearing things down instead of making things better. So I don't think so. Do you think Joe Biden is going to run? That's the other question.
Yeah, I think he's going to run, and he's going to win big time, even bigger than he won in 2020, because Republicans are batshit crazy, and the majority of Americans sick of the animosity and the conspiracy theories. And Marjorie Taylor Greene not helping the cause. Bobert not helping the cause. McFord in Florida, that's Matt Gaetz, not helping. Carl will have receipts on him. I mean, absolutely nobody. And if Liz Cheney run, it's going to split the Republican vote. And, Joe Biden will win in a landslide. And she should for that reason. Run as an independent or run for the Republican nomination and split the whole damn thing. So Joe Biden can win in a landslide. But Republicans, they must control all, the presidency and the Congress. That would be detrimental. And they have a majority in the Supreme Court. Just write it off as, America ending. There's no more American exceptionalism.
There would be no. It would be a disaster for the whole world, actually. Do you think that DeSantis is going to run?
Yeah. From reliable sources, I've heard from the horse's mouth. Without calling any names, but yes, he's making preparations. He's going to go down in Miami to Miami, probably in a few weeks' time to announce his candidacy for the Republican nomination. We're still trying to get him on a show, and they're leaning towards saying yes, but please, I hope he agrees to come on a show.
you know, Governor DeSantis, because we've got some questions for him. And we're not trying to be confrontational. It's just people want to know, inquiring minds want to know. You know, the sunshine law in Florida, where it states that if you're in office now, if you're known to candidate for another office, because of a sunshine law, you have to resign from a current position. But because he has a state legislature, both the House, the State House, the State Senate, is dominated by Republicans. He wants to change that law, you know, and run the Republican nomination for 2024 while remaining governor. You know, so isn't that hypocrisy and a double standard on his part?
Oh,
because
yeah.
The Democratic challenger, the former governor, Charlie Crist, asked him point blank, you're going to run for president, aren't you, in 2024? And for 2 minutes straight, one of the stood up there looking at the camera, looking like a clown, not answering.
Yeah.
And yet still the people of Florida voted back this clown in. Why?
He did not answer. He did not answer that question. Well, he did really answer it, actually. Not verbally, though.
By
but he did answer.
Yeah. Looking at him, it was like deer in a headlight. You know, it was so funny, but yet still sad.
Yeah.
You know, it was terrifying, actually. Imagine that. Imagine Ron DeSantis being president of the United States. Worse than Trump.
Yep. Actually, now that we're talking a little bit about Florida, hundreds of students across Florida walked out Thursday in protest against Satan and his policies concerning higher education. Students walked out of their classrooms at the University of South Florida, University of Florida, Florida State University, and more in opposition of his efforts. Some high school students also joined in the statewide walkout. DeSantis recently announced plans to ban colleges and universities from having programs on diversity, equity, and inclusion, as well as critical race theory. So he's also signed the so-called Stop Woke Act in law of 2022, which cracks me up, okay? Which restricts race-related curriculum and conversation in workplaces, schools, and colleges. However, it has been temporarily blocked from being implemented in colleges and universities. The law is still being battled out in court. This man thinks that he is an authoritarian? What am I thinking?
Authoritarian, a god.
Yes.
Everybody should worship on his feet.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of the right word for him, but it's not a nice word. So, but yes,
a dictator.
He is. Yes, a dictator. Yes, a big old dictator. And he has to realize that these students in Florida, these university students, all vote. They all vote. And they aren't dumb. They know what he's doing and why he's doing it. And if he thinks that they're happy about it, he's absolutely wrong. And he's barking up the wrong tree because he'll never get their vote.
Can I ask one more question?
Yeah,
sure. Go ahead, Kyle.
I was at a Moms Demand Action meeting, and there was a person that walked in, and we had a representative from the nearby area, and there was a person that was walking in. They were just writing notes and taking pictures. I was wondering if you, at your meetings and stuff, do you usually get people like that like reporters and stuff like that do that type of stuff? That just walk in and then just leave like that?
Oh, Moms Demand Action.
Yeah.
At the Moms.
Hold on.
At the Moms.
Moms Demand Action, and we used to publish where our meetings were going to be, and then we had to do two different websites. One for the public and one for members. And we did not disclose because we had people showing up with firearms. We had people stalking people back to their cars, following them home. It was very dangerous. So they had to make all the locations kind of last minute and private for the protection of our lives. And, you know, when we had rallies in parks and stuff, we frequently have people show up, you know, carrying AKs and ARs and strapped with guns and stuff, and they would just stand there and stare. You know, we also had police protection frequently for those public meetings, but it was a little frightening.
But, yeah, you get people who do. Now, sometimes reporters will show up, or they used to again when it was known to the public, but we only invite reporters one at a time in advance when they have to, you know, come in cleared. So, you know, but there's people that are interested, and then there's people who want to just intimidate the hell out of you.
Yep, yeah, typical right-wing fashion. Go ahead.
Yeah, this person that came, no one knew who she was,
mm-hmm.
which was strange.
She was just, she could have been also just stalking, you know, trying to get information and, you know, reporting back to whomever. That's very possible.
Yeah.
I know some women
mm-hmm.
Here in different groups that do that. They go to different, how do I put it? There are some groups here in Michigan that are causing trouble in our schools, and they go to their meetings. These other moms go to their meetings pretending that they're, you know, like them, and they think like them, and then they report back to their own groups. So, yeah, that goes on. It's like spying. Sure. They want to know what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yes.
That's a good way to find out. That's for sure. So, yeah. And, you know, the thing is that I give them a lot of credit for doing that because, you know, a lot of these groups, you know, here in Michigan, they're, you know, they're trying to ban books in the schools, and they're, you know, all of this, and they're causing a lot of trouble at these board meetings, and, you know, so, yeah, it's kind of scary, and it's risky as well. People are just, I don't know, they're acting more out of control than I've ever noticed, so it's kind of scary, yeah, and that's probably what was happening there.
Has this ever happened to anybody online, though, where that's Carla Iyer talking, where you go to a politician's meeting, and before
so
you go in, you have to they insist on you signing a non-disclosure agreement because they may know that you're a Democrat or a Moms Demand Action person, because it has happened a couple of times in the state of New Mexico. Has that ever happened to you personally? Because that's what right-wing is doing now, Republican.
It hasn't happened to me ever, so
mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Okay.
But other states, who knows, mm-hmm. or maybe that's something new. I'm not sure, but I wouldn't find
out. No, it's been going on for years, since 2016,
you know?
So no, probably before that. But, yeah, that's what they're trying to do to the media. And, you know, Democratic activists or Moms Demand Action or whichever
mm-hmm.
Group, you know, that is, like, against them and everything.
And Moms Demand Action also, you know, they're doing a lot of things online. They do a lot of Zoom meetings online.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of protects them in that way as well. And I like that better, to be honest, than to go
mm-hmm.
you know, personally at the meeting and you still
mm-hmm.
accomplish what you want to accomplish. So,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
you know, that part.
I've been in a couple of those Zoom meetings with Moms Demand Action.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, so Khalil, rumor has it that West Virginia U.S. Senator Joe Manchin III may challenge Joe Biden for the Democratic nomination. Have you heard anything regarding that, or is just still a rumor going around now?
I haven't heard anything regarding that.
Mm-hmm.
I used to keep up with politics a lot more than I do now, but I usually keep up with politics on like Blog Talk. But basically, I don't. I never heard of anything like that like lately.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, because yeah, he has a hard time running as a Democrat as is. So it baffles me if the rumor is indeed true, if Joe Manchin, they plan to challenge Joe Biden for the Democratic nomination, he won't get very far because he's a blue dog Democrat and voted with Republicans more often than he does with Democrats. And Kyrsten Sinema in Arizona is
mm-hmm.
not independent. because she knows fully damn well that if she went for the Democratic nomination again, she would have gotten it. 70% of Democrats in the Democratic Party of Arizona despise her. You get what I'm saying?
Yep.
So she came out now, she was an independent, and the Democrat who is running for the nomination is a congressman, I can't remember his name. But anyway, he's very popular in Arizona. And do you think, not if, but when this congressman get the nomination for Democrats and Kristen Sinema run as an independent, you know, do you think we can retain the seat, the Democratic Party, or because of the split votes in Sinema and the congressman, somebody like Carrie Lake could be elected U.S. Senator?
Oh.
I believe
that's a nightmare.
Yeah, I believe I have faith that we will win it.
By the skin of our teeth, you know, because remember John McCain used to have the seat. Before that, it was Barry Goldwater. So, you know, it's hard to tell with Arizona, you know.
It's hard to know Arizona's. You're right.
And
it's
Blake Masterson, who ran against the astronaut guy, Mark Kelly, and lost pretty badly. He may jump in again for the Republican nomination for 2024. So it may be a four-way race. Kerry Lake, Masterson on the Republican side, and Congressman Raul and Kristen Sinema, independent, you know? So it would be an interesting four-way race, really.
Also, have you ever, have any of you heard of Emily's List?
Yes.
It's an organization that supports female candidates and, of course, are pro-abortion rights, et cetera. They are now targeting 23 Republicans over their positions on the procedures ahead of the 2024 elections. So, because of Roe versus Wade, so they're going to target 23 Republicans, Emily's List, all across the country. So that is nice. I can name if you want real quick. Rep. Cusimano in Arizona, David Schweitzkert in Arizona, Kent Calvert, California, John Duarte, California, Mike Garcia, California, Michelle Steele, California, David Velado, California, Lauren Boebert, Colorado, Maria Elvira Salazar, Florida, Ashley Hinson, Iowa, Marionette Miller Meeks, Iowa, Zach Nunn, Iowa, Don Bacon, Nebraska, Tom Keene, New Jersey, Anthony Dispasso, New York, Nick Lalato, New York, Mike Lawler, New York, Mark Molinaro, New York, George Santos, New York, Brandon Williams, New York, Lori Chavez-Demir, Oregon, Brian Fitzpatrick, Pennsylvania, and Ben Kiggins, Virginia. So those are all on Emily's List, and they're going to target them because of their pro-abortion, their anti-abortion stances. So that's what they're going. These are the GOP House members that I just listed. So let's see how that works out. It'd be good. And Emily's come a long way. They've got a lot of power. It's a wonderful organization.
Yes, the congressman is trying to remember from Arizona who's running for the Democratic nomination for U.S. Senate in 2024 is Ruben Gallego. Ruben Gallego.
Gallego.
Gallego. Yes, he'll make a good U.S. Senator one day. Because Kristen Sinema has got to go, man. She's no good.
She is not.
Because when she first started in politics, she was a socialist. And then yep. the Greens embraced her, and then the Liberals and Progressives embraced her. Then, you know, we embraced her, we believed everything she said. And when she was in college, it's on record that she was a communist. So, no, she's a right-winger. She can't make up her mind.
Yeah.
She just goes where the wind blows and where the money is.
She just goes,
and that's
yeah.
sad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she doesn't
I have
9 minutes
to go. No, yeah, no spine, no gumption.
Nope.
Who's this? Oh, another Michigan call. She have no political beliefs, really. I think this is Susan calling in. We have 9 minutes.
Oh.
Hello, welcome to Kitchen Politics 123. What's cooking?
Hi, it's Madeline.
Hello. Madeline.
Oh, hi,
so, Madeline.
No. How are
you?
9 minutes.
I've been busy. I don't know what got into me, but I just kept going, and I just never stopped houseworking. I just got – you ever get in those moods that you just don't stop?
Right,
and
right.
I did. I try not to, but yeah. I didn't hear you, but I can only imagine what you said.
Mm-hmm.
You mean
– So, Madeline, let me ask you.
When you were talking about
Madeline,
all I said was Big Bird.
That horrible dress. Yes, the yellow dress.
Thank you. When you wear something like that and you look like crap in it, everything else that comes out of your mouth equals the same thing. There's no style there. There's no class there. There's
no
nothing.
No, and it was an
everything.
Yeah, that dress. Wasn't it a bright yellow?
That's what I'm saying.
You look
like
Big Bird.
She looked
like Big Bird.
With
big flaps in her skull. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Exactly.
It was ridiculous. She looked really ridiculous.
It was.
Yeah, it was an ugly
dress. Yeah, she always dressed like shit. You know, she is shit. She always
dressed
like shit.
It's probably some designer.
Oh, God. If it was a designer, shame on him to have his designs look that bad.
Yeah, well, it probably was.
Madeline, what do you think? We're on the brink of World War III. What do you think about the conflict with Ukraine versus Russia and, you know, China getting involved, Iran helping them out, North Korea? What do you think? What's your perspective?
You know, there was a time when those wars, they were bipartisan. People went to war and supported each other to a certain degree. Korean, Vietnam was a shithole. Let me put it right out there, okay? But now there's a Ukrainian war, and instead of us being as supportive as we used to be at one time, now they're all throwing fits like children in Congress. So if that doesn't tell you where we're at, I don't know what does.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because they don't want to. They don't want to give any more arms or money.
No, they don't want to give any money.
You know, and that's the Republicans. Yes, and like I said in the beginning of the show. You know, President Biden is trying to preserve democracy in the world.
Absolutely.
And that is the reason why he is doing what he's doing. And if people don't understand that or see that, that's too bad for them. You know, it's too bad.
You know what? I truly think they do have an idea, but they hate it. And that's why.
Yeah. But do you think?
That's why.
But wait, hold on. Do you think any president of the United States, you know, will go overseas to help somebody because we want to preserve democracy? Or is it best economic interest? What suits us? You know?
Well, it's probably a little bit of each. You know, it's not just one thing.
Okay, well, then help me understand why, even though they're in a war, why can't Ukraine join the EU? Even now.
Not EU, NATO. Reason being, Russia may have a full-scale war because Russia threatened.
Russia's full of shit. I truly believe Russia's full of shit. Look at all those people that left the country because they didn't want to go to war. People in Russia want to live a normal life. They don't want to be bothered with all this having to go to war and make all these oligarchs rich. Well, that's what they're doing.
Well, until
so,
the oligarchs turn against Putin and the system that's in Russia, then you know, the same thing will keep going on. It's like in China, where the Chinese Communist Party have an iron grip in society. You know, the 8th and Tiananmen Square business that happened was, you know, good that the Chinese students got up and had an uprising and everything. But once the oligarchs and the people with money still back the president, whoever he or she is, then nothing will change. And we had a perfect opportunity when George W. Bush was president. And you know what that idiot from Texas said? Oh, I looked at Putin's eyes and I saw his soul. So, you know, that bullshit right there didn't play out, and it come bite us in the ass now. We got Donald Trump, who, you know, the have all sorts of skeletons on him, you know, and Trump is basically doing Putin's bidding and everything. You know, so Republicans claim that they're strong in defense and are strong with the economy, but both of this is garbage, you know, and Americans should get over that where Republicans don't care about America. They care about the pocketbook and helping the rich friends move forward. That's sad. It's sad. Eisenhower will be turning over in a grave, and Reagan and Gerald Ford and whoever to see what the Republican Party is. Even who?
And Kennedy wasn't a saint either. So, but Kennedy had he had the country first.
Yeah, and that's why they murdered him for it. But anyway,
And I was listening, I was watching on how everything fell into place. The mafia, Democrats, Kennedy, Robert Kennedy, assassination, Oswald, Ruby, they all have a common denominator. Okay?
Yeah.
That's why he's dead today.
Yep.
Yes.
For sure.
Common denominator.
Yeah. All right, the music, the outro music playing. We don't have any time left. I want to thank everybody for calling in. Thank everybody for listening.
You so much.
We're at facebook.com/kitchenpolitics123 and check us out on our website, kitchenpolitics123.com. Thank you, everybody. Khalil in West Virginia.
To everyone.
Yes, ma'am. And Madeline in Michigan. And Elaine. Thank you so much. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, guys.
Okay.
Take care.
So, any final thoughts? Any final thoughts?
I'm just going to say good night.
Okay, cool. Fair enough. Okay.
Yep.
Thank you for joining us, everybody, on Kitchen Politics 123, The Radio Show. It has been Season 4, Episode 15. The topic was, in a world filled with war and conflict, dear Jimmy Carter. We wish the Carter family and Jimmy Carter all the very best, and thank you for his service. Thank you on behalf of a grateful nation. Jimmy Carter, you're a legend, and Godspeed when you travel over to the other side. Well loved. Until next time, same place. This is David Franklin in New Mexico. Good night, Lori.
Good night, David. This is Lori Picka in Michigan. Everyone have a good evening, and yes, Godspeed for Jimmy Carter. Good night, all. Thank you.